Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking for the last few weeks at verse number 9, which says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." Now, the Apostle Paul has been looking at this idea of the ministry and how the functioning in the roles of taking care of the members of the body of Christ through some of the things that we've been looking at, how this is a labor that's going on. And what we're going to be picking up today is with the Apostle Paul talking about how he would not be chargeable unto any of you. And what he's trying to do with this is he's trying to protect them from this occurring of where he would actually be chargeable unto them. He did not want either side, whether it was himself or for them, to be put in a compromising position related to the Word of God and also the result of this labor, because that kind of a compromising position really could have a negative impact on either the person who is ministering or on the local assembly itself, because of the idea of this financial influence that individuals are having. For example, the assembly having that influence on the elder because, well, we want you to teach in a certain manner, and if you don't teach in this manner, we're not going to support you in that financial manner. We see how the Apostle Paul talks about what's going to happen as this dispensation starts to come to a close. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, where Paul is giving these warnings about what is going to happen as the body of Christ starts getting farther and farther away from the Word of God. And in chapter 4, he's giving the issue of this is how you prevent this from happening. And that's where he starts in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And what's going to happen is that these members of the body of Christ are going to be looking for these teachers. It describes them as having itching ears. That's the idea that they want to hear a message that is going to be completely pleasing to them. They don't care about whether it's the truth or not. They don't care whether it's what God would want to have preached during this dispensation. They just want to hear something that's going to sound good. And the result of that is that they're going to be going farther and farther away from the truth, supporting the issue of individuals getting farther and farther away from the truth. And if individuals are trying to teach the truth of God's word, well, we're not going to support that because there's other things that we want to actually support. And that's why Paul's saying, "I wouldn't be chargeable unto you," because the issue can happen is that the assembly can really start to dictate what the individual who is that elder is actually doing as part of their ministry. And the elder is starting to see some truth and saying, well, you know what? I can't teach this to the individuals because they're not going to be able to accept it. And since they're not going to be able to accept it, they're not going to be able to support those things. And that starts to have an idea of having an impact. Now, the elder, on the other side, can have an impact on an assembly and be chargeable unto them in a negative manner. A local assembly may not be able to support an elder financially, and the elder might be trying to guilt them into being able to support. Or, you know what, I could go over here to this group and I could get much greater support from them and try to use the assembly that he's ministering to, you know, as a leverage to try to put himself in a better financial situation. You know, those are the things that start to create the idea of being chargeable unto individuals. And that's why you see Paul talking about, you know, he didn't want to be in that position. You know, and you know, you see how the world really looks at the idea of Christianity, because they see, you know, for example, the mega church explosion of things and see how, you know, things really seem to be revolving around money and that eldership being, you know, completely motivated by the idea of, well, we just need more finances. We need, you know, this is the way that we're being measured to prove that we are doing effective things. And, you know, this is the only way that we could be measured in this manner. And saying, well, that's how people are trying to function, and that's, you know, not a good way. And, you know, they're right on that. And unfortunately, a lot of individuals who label themselves as Christian really do use money as the motivation to actually be doing things instead of using the Word of God as the motivation to actually be carrying out their ministry. And that's why Paul said, you know, I don't want to be charged once you. Now, the whole issue comes in. I want to go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, because Paul does give a warning here in 1 Timothy related to the issue of, you know, what it is that, you know, and he's going to call it the love of money, even though individuals will read this passage and they just take it as money. Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And you see how that it's the love of money that creates the error for individuals. It's not the money itself that's causing the problem. It's that love of money that causes people to go away from the truth. And you know, really, if the focus remains on the things of the Word of God, and the Word of God is the truth, there's not going to be a problem with people erring from the truth. You know, that's why you see Paul's warnings over and over again of hold fast the form of sound words. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Over and over again, this whole thing of focusing on the truth of God's word. We've looked several times at, you know, how he holds up this assembly in Thessalonica related to the fact that this is what they did, that they took what Paul was teaching and recognized that it was the truth that was being given to them. You know, this is what all members of the body of Christ should be doing. And if they're doing that, they're functioning in that proper manner, the end result is that nobody would actually end up in that position where they could be labeled as saying, I'm being chargeable unto you. Now, Paul has to say this because, unfortunately, as individuals are growing in their Christian life, they're not in that place at times when this could actually be true, then, that they're relying just on the truth of God's word, that they wouldn't be falling into that trap of being chargeable. So Paul gives those provisions there, and he's saying that, you know, he wouldn't be chargeable unto them, and then he turns around and says, you know, what that whole focus is supposed to be when he says, because, you know, we would not be chargeable unto any of you, you know, and the end result is, we preached unto you the gospel of God. And the result of them not being chargeable is the fact that they were going to preach, well, six, and we've already looked at in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where it talks about the idea of, you know, the correction is to preach the word. That's the very first place that an individual needs to be focused on. You know, the word should always be the focal point of things. You know, the word should not be an afterthought. You know, I made a reference to this. I'm going to actually read the verses now. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. You'll see this issue of what he says to Timothy here, and we read verses 13 and 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. And that's the whole issue of that. There's truth that has been given to all of us through Paul's epistles. You know, once we put our trust in the gospel message, you know, the gospel message which he's just talked about, the fact that that's what he was preaching unto them, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. You put your trust in that and that alone, you have your salvation. You start building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ being preached according to the revelation of the mystery. We have to hold fast the form of sound words to build upon this. And this is the message that the Apostle Paul talks about that he's going out and preaching. This is the message he's saying you have to hold fast this, because this is what's going to truly have an impact on an individual's life today. Because what the Apostle Paul was given is the Word of God. You know, and it's the Word of God that's only going to have the impact on things. If we go over to Romans chapter number 10, we see what Paul says about, you know, the Word of God and what it produces in an individual. We read here in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God which is going to produce faith in an individual. That's why the Word of God always has to be the focus of things. You know, we see what Paul says about his relationship to the Word of God and what it is that he was doing. If we go over to Colossians chapter number 1, and we read here in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 25, says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. You know, the responsibility that was given unto him was that the message that he received, the message that starts from his salvation and is being revealed unto him, it's going to fulfill the word of God. And that word fulfill means complete. So what Paul's epistles actually complete the word of God. So when he writes his last epistle in 2 Timothy, that epistle actually completes the word of God. And there's no more word of God actually being given in a manner where we have the scripture. We have a completed Bible. That's why the whole issue of the sign gifts is done, because that which is perfect is come, that which is perfect is the completed Word of God. Once Paul wrote his last epistle and completed the Word of God, the sign gifts were done. You know, we know that what Paul was given was from God, because the Apostle Paul talks about what was said of himself. Let's go over to Galatians chapter number 1 to see where Paul talks about this information here. And in Galatians chapter number 1, we read here verses 11 and 12. It says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, the accusation that so many individuals try to make related to the Apostle Paul is that what he wrote was not the Word of God, and that what he was writing was his thoughts on things. You know, and that he wasn't receiving things by revelation. The Apostle Paul very clearly identifies the fact that what he was given, it says, "Was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The information that we have in Romans through Philemon is the Word of God given to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ, recorded for us, so that way we would have the instructions on how it is that we're supposed to be functioning during this dispensation. We see that Peter clearly identifies that what the Apostle Paul was writing was Scripture. If we go over to 2 Peter chapter number 3, to see what Peter says about the Apostle Paul. And Peter's writing this as he's closing out his second epistle to the little flock, explaining to them, you know, partly about why it is that their program has been set aside, but also giving them information about what's going, they're going to need to understand in the ages to come related to the establishment of the kingdom here on planet Earth. And here in 2 Peter chapter number 3, we're going to read here verses 15 and 16. It says, "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." Now, as you read this here, and we're not going to get into the discussion in verse 15 where it starts talking about Paul saying that Paul wrote unto them, because that's a completely different study about what Paul wrote unto the nation of Israel. But I want to focus here on verse number 16, where Peter's talking about, you know, his epistles. That's Romans through Philemon that he's talking about here. That he's, the Apostle Paul speaks in them of, you know, these things in which are some things hard to be understood. And you see how in Paul's epistles, Paul deals with the issues of the setting aside of the nation of Israel. He's giving the doctrine that's for this dispensation, and for those who are the part of the nation of Israel who are there alive at that time, it would be very hard for them to understand, you know, why it is that the kingdom wasn't being established, why they weren't part of that 70th week of Daniel, which is the next thing that should have prophetically been happening to the nation of Israel. But you see how he starts talking here about how that individuals who are unlearned or unstable, they rest. So they struggle with these things that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he says, as they do also the other scriptures. So Peter is putting what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans through Philemon as scripture. He's clearly identifying the fact that all the books that the Apostle Paul wrote actually are scripture. So individuals who struggle with this fact, and they struggle with it because they really want the things of the covenant program to be true, because, you know, it lays out things of, you know, what their performance is. It talks about these physical blessings that are going to come upon them. You know, those are all these things that, you know, really sound good. They, you know, going back to that idea of the individuals having itching ears. You know, individuals want to hear that they're going to have and experience physical blessings in their life. You know, that's not what the Apostle Paul says is going to be true of any member of the body of Christ. Because we're not promised any spiritual blessings or any physical blessings. Our promise is that we're given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're promised things that we know are true because the Word of God says it, but there are things that we can't see, we can't feel. The only way that we know that these things are accurate and that they're really true of us is by the fact that the Word of God says that these things are true. And it's a real struggle for individuals. It's a struggle to hear the idea that salvation can be by faith alone and that somebody doesn't have to do something to try to earn their salvation, because so many people today are teaching the fact that a person has to do good works in order to earn and or maintain their salvation, ignoring the truth of what the Apostle Paul says. When Paul says things, and let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 2 to see what it is that the Apostle Paul says about this fact. And here in Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to read here starting at verse number 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and it not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now we're going to read verse 10 in a second, but verses 8 and 9 are talking about the salvation that's been given to us during this dispensation, about how it's completely by grace. It's a gift that's been given to us, and anything that's a gift doesn't mean that we have to perform. It doesn't mean that we do anything to earn it. It truly is a gift from God, and if there was any works that was associated with it, it would be us boasting about what we did instead of resting in the fact of what He accomplished. That's why Romans talks about it. You know, His faith, and that's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, is counted for righteousness, because it's only Him that could possibly have done the things that were necessary to take care of the issue of sin for a believer, because there's nothing that we could actually have done that truly would have taken care of that sin issue. Verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, the Apostle Paul says that we should walk in good works. Now, it's not necessary for our salvation. You know, it's not a complete requirement. We're not going to lose our salvation if we do not walk in these good works. However, God wants us to do those things. And if we are applying the information in this dispensation properly, we're going to do those good works. And that's where Paul was, you know, talked about things related to care for the saints, and, you know, things that we've covered in the last few episodes with it, of, you know, some of those works that the doctrine is going to lay out. But you see how Paul, as he's laying these things out and talking about this thing of not being chargeable, it all comes back to that focus on the impact of what the Word of God is going to be. And if individuals truly just rely on what the Word of God says, then there never could actually be anything that would actually identify as someone being chargeable unto other individuals. Now we're going to pick up with and continue on in verse number 9 during our next episode. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook, or also how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. And you know, we also have a lot of information. There's Bible study charts also on our website as well. As always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything on our website, anything in these broadcasts, or anything you hear in any of our other messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.